this is kind of in depth a lot, so I'll try to get all the way through it, but it's a very important subject. In 1 Corinthians 15:32, it says, if the dead are not awakened, and that's egairo, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So the resurrection is the fulcrum or the pinnacle of all of our life. If there's no resurrection, none of this matters. Salvation is dependent upon believing Christ was awoken. And when I say awoken, people will say raised, but it's the word egairo, which means to awake from a sleep. But they'll translate it, but we'll cover that a little bit later. But salvation, Romans 10:9 is based upon that. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth Yahushua as Lord, and believe in thy heart that Yahweh awoke him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. And it is from among the dead, which we will cover that too. Christ is the firstborn. The only time I ever got a call. I love my favorite song. It'll stop in a minute.
What did they call back?
It's always shut
down. Please keep this in the video.
Yeah, a great song, though. Stairway. What song is that, Tim?
Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that great?
Perfect song.
Yeah, perfect song, man. Oh, yeah. That was part of the teaching. That's Stairway to Heaven. Now, they don't know that stairway at all, but we know where that is. We cover tonight, so it's all planned. Hebrews 11, in faith, all these died. The whole thing is on Hebrews 11. Is all these died, waiting for a heavenly city, a new Jerusalem. And so we know that from Abel to David, all them died. Death was not conquered until Christ was awoken. Christ abolished death, and that's 2 Timothy 1:10. He tasted death for everybody, which is Hebrews 2:9. And he released those from fear of death who were all their lifetime in bondage, which is Hebrews 2:14 through 15. So we have to realize death stopped people from doing things that would kill them.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's no resurrection, eat and drink. And I'm not going to die if I know that's the end of it. But if a person knows it's not the end of it, then so be it. So be it. And Christ showed us that it's not the end. You know? So like, wow, now I've energized people to do all sorts of things they would never do. They would never do that if there was no resurrection. The second born from among the dead. Now, he was the firstborn from among the dead. The secondborn from among the dead will be the church, which is us, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. And let's just go through that. That's important. 1 Thessalonians chapter, and you can tell.
Yeah.
1
Thessalonians chapter 4.
I can't hear you.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Chapter 3?
Okay, chapter 4, verse 13. And so we must realize that everybody, the foundations that the Word says is completely, what you will find out is completely different than Christianity teaches. But we do not wish you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them who are falling asleep, lest you be sorrowing, even as the rest also who are without hope. We just had a person who was a believer who died in Africa. Her name is Rael. And the pastors were saying, rest in peace. And you're like, what is this rest in peace stuff? Where did that even come from? And Aaron kind of disagrees with me on this, but you're asleep. Of course you're going to rest. And it's not going to be in turmoil. But there is no, you don't say rest in peace, you say you're asleep until what?
Christ said.
The trumpet comes. That's our hope. That's all our hope. She's going to have a new body by that particular time. For if we believe that Yahushua died and rose again, so also will Yahweh bring forth with them them who have fallen asleep through Yahushua. For this unto you do we say by the word of the Lord, that we the living who are left unto the presence or the parousia of the Lord shall in no wise get before them who have fallen asleep. Because the Lord himself, with the word of command, with the chief messenger's voice, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Who is rising first? The dead in Christ. They're not alive. They're not in heaven. It's not that the dead bodies in Christ rise first. It's the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is our hope. After that, we the living who are left together with them shall be caught away in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus evermore with the Lord shall we be. There's our system. And so the third born again, that's us, the third born again.
Born again?
The third born, I would say. Christ was the first born. Nobody before has ever lived. And what we're going to see, from Adam to Christ, everybody's asleep. And that's true today. Everybody's asleep. Until that incident happens, 1 Thessalonians 4, which is the part of the sacred secret. The third born is in the book of Revelation, which is, you know, is the first resurrection, which is, we don't have to go there, Revelation 20, verse 4 through 5. Those are the righteous of the revelations. Why this incident is not part of that is because the book of Revelation is only for the Jews and has nothing to do with the church, which is the sacred secret. The second, or the, you know, the last resurrection, I don't know if you say the third, the fourth born, but the last resurrection is Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, and that is the unjust revelation. And there could be a few just people in there, but if they're not they've not written in the book of life, they're cast into the lake of fire. So that's judgment. Now, all this is so crucial because what am I going to awake first? You know, what am I going to awake to? And it's going to be the new earth. And so I've got to realize, what am I going to awake to? The new earth. And so when we get taken as a church or the assembly, taken with Christ, there's going to be approximately 7 years where we're with him in the heavenlies, and tribulation is going to happen. Then after tribulation happens, the 1,000-year reign, you know, the adversary is bound for 1,000 years, the beast and the false prophet is thrown in the lake of fire alive, and now we have 1,000 years of rule. Where is that rule?
On the earth.
Nobody knows about this. I mean, it really comes down to, it's a sad deal because everything's heaven, which we're going to see. Everything's heaven.
But they're not thrown in the lake of fire. They're bound for 1,000 years.
No, right? The adversary is bound. Okay. They're thrown in the lake of fire. Okay. The two are thrown like ahead of time.
Okay.
Let me see here. Oh. And then that's 1,000 year, and mortal men are going to be there. So, but we're going to be there also. We are immortal people who have been part of the body of the Christ, and we're going to be there working with mortal men. And then the new earth comes down after death is, you know, the death is after the last resurrection, death and Sheol are thrown in the lake of fire. Then the new Jerusalem comes down. The earth is completely purified from death. Remember, if a person touched a dead body, how long are they unpurified?
7 days.
7 days, yeah. And then 3 days they had to do, you know, get oil and all these different cleansing in the 7th day. So human death separated Yahweh from everything. Mm-hmm. You know, animal death, it'd just be by the end of the night. You wash yourself and now you're clean. But human death, and so my theory is that Yahweh cannot be part of any of the earth until death is destroyed.
Human death.
Yeah, human death. And so death and Sheol are gone, and the new earth descends out of heaven. That's Revelation 21. And now Christ, who was king, is going to be subjected to Yahweh, who is king. And this is all happening in what city?
New Jerusalem.
Zion, the New Jerusalem. Now let's look at, you have to say, okay, what's all this awakening about? Let's look at our immortal bodies. And Christ gave us an example of that. Let's go to Philippians 3, verse 20.
Philippians 3.
Okay, thank you.
Verse 20.
Until that happened, there's been resurrections, but the people that have died yet.
Like Lazarus.
Yeah, Lazarus, you know, Elijah raised somebody, Elisha raised people, a lot of people like that, but nobody has got into the sphere of immortality until Christ rose.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have that same transformation. We're going to have bodies, we're going to have the same memory, everything else, because otherwise we would never know how we're going to be judged. If everything is wiped clean, we wouldn't have to know what to do. But in Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in the heavens, hath its rise. Wherefore, our Savior also do we ardently await the Lord Yahushua Mashiach, who will transfigure our humbled body into conformity with his what?
Glorified
body, walking through doors, ascending. According to the energy wherewith he is able even to subdue unto himself all things. This is what
that's
it's all
what
about.
Have.
This is what it's all about. To have be transformed into another world where there's no more death, there's no more crying, there's no more evil, there's no more Satan. And Satan is not a name. It's a Hebrew word for what?
Slayer.
Adversary. It means adversary. The Assyrians could be a Satan, adversaries. Now, and then we go to 1 Corinthians 15, get a little bit more about the body. And what's so beautiful about the resurrection, we have a whole chapter. I mean, a big chapter, explaining everything that we need to know, and what does the church do with it?
Tear it out,
because we're going to find out.
One more time.
It has no bearing.
1 Corinthians 15.
Okay, thank you.
35. Verse 35. 15, verse 35. But some will say, how are the dead awoken? So anytime you see raised in 1 Corinthians 15, it's going to be egero. And so, how are the dead awoken? And so, this is really phenomenal, because according to Christianity, where are the dead?
They're awake.
Or down there, yeah.
Down there, or they're up there. And I love that on Friendly Persuasion. And Jimmy Cooper, and they're selling fruit trees. And him and his son, and here
Jimmy
they're in
Stewart.
The cart. Jimmy Stewart. No, it's not Jimmy Stewart. No, it's the other guy. He liked Jimmy Stewart. And they're at this place where it was all women because it was Civil War was going on. And they're in there and these girls are trying to grab his son.
Oh, yeah.
And he is being intimidated.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all singing. They're saying, marry me. And all these girls are, it is really fun. Gary Cooper. His name is Gary Cooper. And you look at the wall, and that's her husband. So there's an old woman there, and he, while they're singing, he goes, she goes, not a word. In the picture. But he wasn't. He's in Sheol. All right, what are you going to see? But 1 Corinthians 35, 36. Simple one. What thou sowest is not quickened except it die.
Well, you didn't read the last of 35.
Okay, but some will say, how are the dead awoken, and with what kind of body do they come? This is what it's all about. Simple one, what thou sowest is not quickened except it die, and what thou sowest, not the body that shall come into existence, does thou sow, but a naked kernel, if so happen a weed or of any other rest, howbeit Yahweh giveth it a body as it as he pleases, and unto each of the seed a body of its own. Not all flesh is the same flesh. The flesh indeed of men, another of flesh of beasts, another of flesh of birds, and another a fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but of one kind of deity is the glory of the heavenly, and of another kind is the glory of the earthly. One is the glory of a sun, and another the glory of a moon, and another the glory of stars. Nay, star after star differs in glory. Thus also the resurrection of the dead. Does it ever say dead body?
Nope.
Never. No, so we're going to see that. And everybody said it. The Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body. The scriptures never say resurrection of the body. It's the resurrection of the dead. And this is one of the cases. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. That's our future. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in what?
Power.
Or is it awakened? So all these raised, I should have said, it is awoken in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is awoken in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is awoken in power. Egero. It is sown a body of the soul. It is awoken a body of the ruach.
It's raised.
Right, guys. It's egero. It's awoken. If there is a body of the soul, and there is also the spirit, or the ruach, thus also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living nephesh, the last Adam, a life-giving ruach, albeit not first, is of the body of the ruach, but what is of the soul, afterwards that of the ruach. That is our hope.
That's pretty cool.
Now, we're going to go into what is not our hope, and that is the serpent. Because as you know, everything I just said is probably foreign to 99% of all Christians. And now we're going to handle what the serpent teaches, which we find out is what 99% of Christians believe, because that's what they've been taught. We know in Genesis 2:17, it says to Adam, and said, if you eat of the tree, dying, thou dost die. That's Genesis 2:17. The serpent says to Eve, dying, thou dost not die. That's Genesis 3:4. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 and 14 calls our satans, our adversaries, messengers of light. And Paul also said, who has bewitched you or deceived you? So we have a tremendous, very equipped, very, very knowledgeable satan. And we have itching ears. So let's go to 2 Timothy 4. Verse 3 and 4.
2 Timothy 4.
Okay, you ready? Wendy, you want to read 3 and 4?
That's chapter 4, 3 and 4?
Yes.
For there will be a season when the helpful teaching they will not endure, but according to their own covetings, will unto themselves heap up teachers, because they have an itching ear. And from the truth indeed their ear will they turn away, while unto stories they will turn themselves aside. But thou be sober in all things.
We'll just stop there.
Okay.
This is the fallen church. So we live in an age, and it's always been this way. It's been since Abel and Cain. Now, I'm thinking of the teaching on the immortality of the soul. Now, we're going to say this goes all the way back. The false teaching has gone on since Adam and Eve. But we will find out that the church conspires with the adversary, Satan. Conspire means together with breathe. So, spire means breathe. Ruach. Now, is pneuma there, Greek. And con is together with. So, whether they realize it or not, they are together with Satan. Mm-hmm. Wow. And they're actually co-conspirators. Because you're going to teach his doctrine. So what else are you going to call these people? The first commandment, can somebody say Exodus 20, verse 1?
I am Yahweh Elohim, thou shalt not have another Elohim before me.
That's right. You know, I am Yahweh Elohim, thou hast no other Elohim besides me. That's what the scripture says. That's erased and replaced with the Trinity. And you have, the second verse is no images. You got images everywhere. So you're looking at, wow, I mean, how could you get, you know, sometimes you can, we can look at debatable things. Maybe you don't want to speak in tongues, okay, that's your loss. But when you break the first commandment, and the first commandment is the only commandment out of the ten is in the perfect, which means, I am Yahweh thy Elohim. Thou hast no other Elohim besides me. It's not, thou shalt not have. It says, thou hast no other Elohim behind me. There's no option. But as we see, throughout all history, from Haran, all the way to Solomon, we're going to see multiple gods.
Yeah.
Through the prophets of Yahweh. The prophets of Yahweh introduce other gods. So we start saying, well, this guy's really good, and this guy's really good, and Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer, Mr. Craig Groeschel, these are really religious people. Well, Solomon, Yahweh appeared to him twice. And we're going to find out how bad he blew it. And we know of Aharon, did he break the first commandment?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he broke the second commandment? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is the prophet chosen by Yahweh. So can holy people take the, you know, go off on the rails? Absolutely. And that's called the sins of Jeroboam. So the Trinity is the sins of Jeroboam. Jeroboam made two more gods. So you had Yahweh in Jerusalem, and then he made a god in Bethel and a god in Dan. So you had three gods. It was just a creation. And that was for the people. So we know that people want teachers who tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
And so if I go to a church that speaks the truth, and that really bothers me. All right, I'm not going to go to that church anymore. I'm going to go to a church that actually tells me what I want to believe, that makes me feel good about my life and everything else, because I don't want to get reproved at church. Okay, second thing. The erased our hope, the resurrection. The resurrection has no impact whatsoever in Christianity. If they nullify the resurrection. People do not die, they only change addresses.
Yeah.
Here's Kenneth Copeland. Let me give you something here. Oh. I forgot to do this. I should have done this. From among the dead, it's not from the dead. Christ was not raised from the dead. He was raised from among the dead. It's a word called ek. Ek means out of. Necros, dead. Bollinger has in his appendix 139, with a preposition, but without the article, which may be latent in the preposition, ek nekron, it denotes out from among dead people. And then in 4 it says, with the preposition and with the article, for example, ek ton nekron, it denotes emphatically out from among the dead bodies or corpses. So Rotherham will say from among the dead. Youngs will say out from among the dead, but in every other Bible, not a word. Because that causes problem, because that says people are still what?
Dead.
Dead. So if Christ was raised from among the dead, through the church, they're all in heaven. That can't be, so we can't have that terminology in our Bibles. Now we go into the Copelands. What happens to a Christian at death? And so we're talking about here, erasing our hope, the resurrection, which is nullified. One doesn't live long in this world before realizing the reality of death and the fact that we all must face it someday. But the Christian has some additional news about this event And it's good news. 2 Corinthians 5:1-9, they always do this, especially verse 8. When we are absent from the body at death, we are present with the Lord. As believers, our spirits go immediately to be with Jesus. Is resurrection important here at all?
Not at all.
Not at all. The physical or natural body will remain in the grave until the return of Jesus at the rapture, when it will be resurrected like Jesus' glorified body and reunited with his spirit. The Bible does not in any way support the idea of reincarnation when you realize that death to believers means being with Jesus. Until they are united with their resurrected bodies, you understand why death truly has no sting, which it does. And Jesus did indeed destroy its power. It had to hurt us. Did indeed destroy the power that had to hurt us. Okay. That is what is taught today. So, resurrection is gone. The Roman Catholic Church, what happens in purgatory? When we die, we undergo what is called a particular or individual judgment. Scripture says it is appointed for men once to die, and after that comes judgment. We are judged instantly and receive our reward for good or ill, right? Upon death. We know at once what our final destination will be. At the end of time, when Jesus returns, they will come the general judgment, which the Bible refers to examples in Matthew 25:31. In the general judgment, all our sins will be publicly revealed. Augustine said in the City of God that temporary punishments are suffered by some in this life, only by others after death, by both now and then, but all of them before that last and strict judgment. And it says, here's the topic, purgatory, not in the scriptures. Some fundamentalists also charge the word purgatory is nowhere found in scripture. This is true, and yet does not disprove the existence of purgatory or the fact that belief in it has always been part of church teaching. The words Trinity and incarnation aren't in scripture either.
This is what they say.
Yeah, and right there. And what we say with Galatians 1:6-9 is, if you add anything to this word, you are what?
Accursed.
And that's why you only use, and John Shane, I'll use the word rapture. Don't use the word rapture. It's not in the scripture either, because once you deviate out of the scriptures, then that's what they're going to say. Well, rapture's not, and the word Bible's not in the scriptures. It's the word Yahweh. But once you deviate, you give license for everybody to come up with anything that they want. The dead are still alive. Now we see that right back in Leviticus 19. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19.
Leviticus chapter 19.
Okay.
The other leg. Thank you.
The war clan sucks. Leviticus 19, verse 1-4. Now, we know the church, the Catholic Church, prays to dead people, right? Do the Protestant Church believe that dead people are alive?
Yes.
Okay. Christ talks about this. I mean, not Christ, but Yahweh talks about this. 19:1-4. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the assemblies of the sons of Israel, and thou shalt say unto them, holy shall you be, for holy am I, Yahweh your Elohim. You shall everyone revere his father and his mother, and my Sabbath shall you observe. I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. Now let's go to verse 31. That's our context. Do not turn unto mediums or for oracles. An oracle, these two words are used together.
It's like a problem.
And the medium is...
Medium is familiar spirit.
Is OBE, OBE, OBE. and that's feminine, and the oracle is, let's see what it is, Yadat Oni. Yadat Oni. And it means a knowing one, and this is where we get the word yada, means to know, and that's masculine. So usually this is referring, people will translate it as familiar spirits. The 31, do not turn unto mediums for oracles, make search to render yourself unclean with them. I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. We start dealing with what these religions teach us. Leviticus 20, verse 1 through 7. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, unto the sons of Israel, therefore shalt thou say, what man soever there may be of the sons of Israel, of the sojourners, the sojourning Israel, that giveth of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I also will set my face against that man, and will cut him out of the midst of the people, because of his seed hath he given unto Moloch, seeing that he hath made unclean my sanctuary, even in the extent of profaning my holy name. But if the people of the land do even hide their eyes from that man, then he giveth of his seed unto Moloch, so as not to put him to death. Then will I myself set my face against that man, against his family, and will cut him off, and thou shalt follow and chase thee after him, and going and chase thee after Moloch out of the midst of the people. The person also that turneth into mediums and unto oracles, and going and chasing after them, then I will set my face against the persons, and I will cut them off in the midst of the people. Now we're going to go to 1 Kings 11, verse 7 and 8, because we were just talking about mediums, oracles. So to these people that you go to, they're like fortune sayers. So if they're getting information from dead people, those people must be alive in some form. Their body's dead, and we're going to see that with Samuel. But they're getting information, so when talking about the immortality of the soul, this stuff's believed all the way back in the beginning of time. But remember, Molech. Now look at verse 7. Then did Solomon, King Solomon, Yahweh appeared to him twice, wrote books in the word of Yahweh. Now Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, they believe. You know, Song of Solomon. Yahweh appeared to him twice. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for who?
Moloch.
The abominations of the sons of Ammon. Wow. So if you think the church can't go astray today, this is King Solomon who went astray. And Leviticus says, death to you. Now we go back to Leviticus 20, verse 26 and 27.
Leviticus, yeah.
Therefore shall ye be unto me holy persons, for holy am I, Yahweh. Therefore have I distinguished you from the people, that ye may be mine. And as touching man or woman, when there shall be in them a familiar spirit, or the spirit of an oracle, they shall surely be put to death. With stones shall they be stoned, their blood shall be upon themselves. Well, we have people going to heaven and coming back with new information all the time, and they write books about it.
Talking to dead people.
That's it. These are mediums and oracles, is what it comes down to. And that is in the Christian church. We go to 1 Samuel 28, and this is...
1 Samuel chapter 28.
Okay.
This is Saul, who had Jerusalem rid of what they call necromancers, speaking to the dead. Verse 3, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him. Okay, right there, he's dead. But then, verse 7, then said Saul unto his servants, seek me out a woman that owns a familiar spirit, that I may even go unto her and inquire of her. Let's go to verse 11 through 14. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up for thee? And he said, Samuel, bring that up for me. And according to this, Samuel does, which means he lives without his body. And that's what Christianity teaches, the teaching, at least with the Hagenites especially, that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. All from oracles and mediums. It's passed on from generation to generation. Kenneth Hagin, he might have learned from somebody else too. These are all the same things, all the same lies. The new earth, with these fault, we're back with the fallen shores, the new earth is erased. We didn't even know about the new earth. I didn't know about the new earth because if you're in heaven, who cares? And what is this? And so without a resurrection, there is no new earth because people go directly into heavens, and that we go to Psalms, we're going to have to go there to Psalms 2, 7 through 8, and Yahweh is giving the earth to his son, his only begotten son. Zion is David's throne, Abraham's inheritance, and Christ's reign. This is all going to happen on the new earth. And it's all through the Old Testament, and it ends the book. The new earth ends the book, and we're still oblivious to it. If Christ has no beginning or no end, being God in the flesh, incarnate, that's where we get incarnation, then if they'll say he pre-existed, he always existed. There is no pre-existed unless you never existed. If you existed and then you didn't exist and then you existed again, so that would be I pre-existed, then I don't exist, and then I post-exist. So pre-existing means he never died because he's God, only his body died. So Christ didn't die for our sins.
They teach.
And he was not resurrected. His body was was awoken, but not him because he didn't ever die. He should have, since he's God, entered the womb of Eve and not Mary, because Adam and Eve sinned. He could have redeemed them at that time with Eve instead of Cain. It should have been Christ in his womb before Cain. And then he could have redeemed all mankind before he even started. Makes sense. He existed, right? And he can pop in anybody's body, right? And if he always existed, then he's not the seed of David. He's not the line of Judah. He can't be of Judah. He can't be of David. He created them. And he's not Miriam's son. So, this is a fallacy that we exist with every day. And so we've got to be, there's very few of us that actually just go with the scriptures. Okay. In Christ's time, they were also deceived. And so when they say to Christ, who do they say I am? And what do they say?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
Elisha.
Elijah or Jeremiah, and that's Matthew 16, 13 through 14. What is this? You know, how about in 27, 46, 49, Eli, lama sabachthani? They say, he's calling for Elijah. Don't help him. Let's see if Elijah comes. Well, Elijah's, according to the Christ period, Elijah's not dead. Jeremiah's not dead. John the Immerser's not dead, even though their bodies are dead and they've reincarnated somehow in other people. So is it apparent in his time? Absolutely. The Sadducees, part of the church, no resurrection, which means there's no new earth either. So eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, we go into the resurrection, which is phenomenal. So let's go to Acts chapter 1. Finish this up. But there is a resurrection, and it's the pinnacle of Christianity. Death is not the pinnacle of Christianity, because according to Christianity, death is the portal to Jesus.
Yeah.
God, does that have Satan's signature all over
yeah.
it? Are you kidding me? Yes, that is absolutely right. But let's look at the resurrection, come back to the beauty of it. Chapter 1, verse 6 through 11. So who don't want to read 6 through 11?
I will. They therefore, having come together, began to question him, saying, Lord, art thou at this time duly establishing the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto him, it is not yours to get to know the times and the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own authority. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Ruach comes upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and as far as the uttermost part of the land. And having said these things, as they were beholding, he was lifted up, and a cloud caught him away from their eyes. And while they were looking steadfastly into heaven as he was going his way, then lo, two men had taken their stand beside him in white garments.
We need to stop there. That's our new body. We're going to bodies just like that. Isn't that cool? Just ascending into the cloud. Chapter 2, verse 22. Let's look real quickly. Here's the day of Pentecost. Who is Yahushua? Verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Yahushua the Nazarene, a man appointed out of Yahweh unto you by mighty works and wonders and signs, which Yahweh did through him in your midst, just as you yourself know. The same, by the mark out counsel and full knowledge of Yahweh, given up through the hands of lawless men, suspending you slew. That's not a good way to start your church, is it? Getting members, and this is all the way through it. Whom Yahweh raised, this is the resurrection, whom Yahweh raised up, loosing the pains of death, not just for him, because he is what we would call the first begotten. He's the first one to show all the rest of it. That's what's going to happen to you. Loosing the pains of death, inasmuch it was not possible for him to continually held fast by it. The resurrection is the call that Yahweh, why he's so important. Let's go here. Verse 32. The same Yahushua hath Yahweh raised up, whereof all we are witnesses. The resurrection. Chapter 3, verse 15. And you go all the way through the whole book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is dead person now is immortal and can fly and do everything they want. Putting it out, and that's our new call. First time it's ever happened. And 15:3, but the priestly leader of life you slew, whom Yahweh awoke from where among the dead, where we are witnesses. That's the call, awoken. Verse 26. Unto you first, Yahweh, having raised up his servant. Now there we go again. In chapter 4, verse 2. Being tired out because of their teaching the people and announcing in Yahushua the what? The Trinity. Now, the teaching that everybody goes to heaven upon death. Mm-hmm. You know, all the false teaching is the resurrection from among necros, or among the dead. Verse 10. And that was the Sadducees who were being upset. Be not unto you all and unto all the people of Israel that in the name of Yahushua Mashiach, the Nazarene, whom ye crucified, and whom Yahweh awoke from among the dead. The resurrection. Verse 33. You see, and with great power were the apostles giving forth their witness of the resurrection. Wow, how were people seeing the resurrection through the apostles.
Power.
Power. They're doing things that humans cannot do. So that proves that Christ is alive. We have the same ability. And what is that ability?
Tongue interpretation.
Yeah, it's the Spirit. Manifesting the Spirit. They were manifesting the Spirit. And when you guys prophesy or speak in tongues and interpret, or you have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, that is the witness that Christ has been raised. So every person in the body of Christ has been given the power to witness, to give a witness of the resurrection. There are a lot of nice people, you know, Mahatma Gandhi and all sorts of people who people could say, well, he was really loved and he was everything else, but there was no power. So he did not witness, so you can't look at just good works that do this. as nice you do, but that's no witness that Yahweh's inside you. I know when Yahweh's inside you, or Christ is inside you, when you do something that I witness that you have no ability of doing. You can't do that. That's called supernatural. Now, so the church, the Solo Christian Church, has nullified Ruach. There are no manifestations. And so they nullified the witnessing of the resurrection, of the power. They have nullified the witnessing of the resurrection. So Satan and the church as co-conspirators nullify Yahweh. Is Yahweh in any book? No. Used 6,831 times. Gone. Because we're going to have three gods. They've nullified the one God. They have nullified the resurrection because death unites us with Jesus, as we've been told. And so we don't need a resurrection. And how do they nullify this? By removing, and let's look at the crime scene. How do they do this? Yahweh is removed and changed to Lord. Death, you're not dead, you just go to heaven. Let's not talk about the new earth, because everybody's in heaven. Why would you want to leave heaven and come back to a new earth? Necros, let's erase it from the body, from among the dead. We've got to get rid of that, which they did in all the Bibles. Egaro, which means to awake from among the dead. Got to get rid of that too, because that means you were there. If you were asleep, your body wasn't asleep, you were there. And that's what you were awakened, so let's get rid of Egaro. Christ's birth, he always existed. So if he always existed, Christ was never born. He was actually a being who was inserted in Mary's womb. And so she was the host and not the mother of Christ. So her egg was not involved because he always existed anyway. The 1,000-year reign with mortal men, you know, which we're going to be working in there with mortal men, gone, as he raised. They added hell, because you got to have that, making men immortal. So if I make men immortal, I've got to come up with hell. So they came up with hell. And then death is now our friend, instead of in 1 Corinthians 15, it says it's our enemy. It unites us with Jesus. And so we go into the last section is 2 Kings 22, 1.
2 Kings 22.
Thank you.
And this is Josiah, or will it be Josiah? And how important is translations? Satan and the church have done this by diluting translations. Yahweh does not work with Trinity. I've got to have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I can't have a name. I can have God, because that can be a lot of things. But I cannot have personal pronouns. I cannot have personal nouns. I can't have a personal pronoun. But in 22, here's Josiah, 1 and 2. 8 years old was Josiah. And this is our example for us. We all have been called to be a Josiah. 8 years old was Josiah when he began to reign, and 31 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jediah, daughter of Adaiah of Maskath, and he did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Think of that. What a compliment. I mean, that's what it should be, Christ. When Tim dies, or goes to sleep, or I go to sleep, or anybody goes to sleep, that's what I want. I want Yahweh to say, that guy's going to be missed. And if we go to verse 11, you know, they found the book of the law, which is the Rotherham Bible. They found the Rotherham Bible in the temple, because his father, his grandfather's Manasseh, you know, for 50 years, they had pagan gods everywhere. So they found the Bible, the word of Yahweh, in verse 11. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law, necromancy, familiar spirits, you know, Moloch, the gods, Ultimately. Solomon's gods were still there in front of the temple. I mean, or in Jerusalem. The gods of Solomon did for 350 years later. But once he heard the book of the law, which had been found for great, is the wrath of... So, no, wait a minute. 11... let me start over. It came to pass when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. And we should do the same thing. And verse 13, go ye inquire of Yahweh for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of the book which hath been found. For great is the wrath of Yahweh in that it hath fired up against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. Has the Christian church done that?
No.
They have not hearkened either. Just what Solomon has done. To do according to all which is written concerning us. And so, well, but everybody does it, so it must be accepted by Yahweh in some format. Since everybody does it, can Yahweh be mad at everybody? Well, if you aren't searching the book, yes, absolutely. We're justifying sin to say, okay, homosexuality, I know it's new, let's just get along, bring that in. I mean, what's worse, having three gods or having homosexuality? What's the first commandment?
No other gods.
All right. Homosexuality would be preferable to the Trinity. How's that? Because that was like the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder, right? The seventh. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery. Wow. And you're right off the bat. So we'll stop there. And now I'll give a word of prophecy. I'll keep going. According to 1 Corinthians 14, Father, we thank you for these words. So bear up and be strong, because you are my sons and daughters, in whom I have anointed with holy ruach, in order that you may witness my son's resurrection, that you may speak the words of truth that come from my word, that you may be heralds of the corruption that is actually going all around you. So do not be silent, do not be quiet, but speak the truth and bring people in to me according to my word. Amen.
And
see you next week.